just reading words, but help us to truly commune with you. And we pray that you watch over this church and continue to bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, as I watch the news, I am concerned these days. And I think that's what you do. I try to tell the youth in the school, when you're older, you have to watch the news and be concerned. That's what you do. Because they're not worried about anything. Yeah, that'll be fine. But the older you get, you're like, oh, there's some problems. Especially recently with all the violence and violence against young people. Very concerning, very, very troublesome. And, our society has really rejected God and morality. A fixed sense of right and wrong. Morality is what I think, what you think. You know, anything goes. It's all equally good. It's all fine, which is crazy thinking, right? Because there is an objective right and wrong. And we've turned to postmodernism. Nobody really has answers. You just kind of do whatever you want. And people don't really have a sense of right and wrong reality. People live in their own world. And in our country is very materialistic. We have all kinds of possessions. We have money to buy, you know, weapons that can hurt other people. A lot of these people that hurt others come from broken homes. They've been hurt themselves, sadly. And, you know, long before the physical violence, there's all kinds of emotional things that are hurtful to this person. And then we have, I think, some of our laws don't really make sense, unfortunately. And so you have these situations where people are tragically hurt and young ages are just victimized. And as terrible as this is, you know, this is something that's being debated in Congress right now. How do you keep kids safe in schools? All these weapons that are hurting people, troubled young people that are not restrained. I added that last part. All these things are adding up and they're seeing all these problems. And as much as these weapons are really dangerous and can attack people, the Bible speaks of another weapon that attacks people that is also dangerous. And I'm going to talk about that in James 3. Another weapon that really hurts other people, long before you see the physical violence, you have these deep pains and deep wounds in people's lives. And so the deadly assault weapon I'm going to talk about is the one that we carry. The weapon we all carry is our tongue, our words. These are things that can really wound people deeply. Now, this may not make the headlines of Yahoo News per se, but the things that we say, the things that are said, can be very hurtful and very troubling for many years. And people can be wounded by our words. Our words can be a weapon. You know, I heard this story once of a young man, and his father was a principal of a school, and his father loved the academics and the rigors of class and grades and assignments and tests and homework. And this young man, though, struggled mightily in school, and he plugged away. He wasn't as serious as he should have been, and he graduated, and his father was disappointed at his low GPA. It was just a disappointment to the family name, he felt. And so this young man felt the weight of his father's disapproval. So when he went to college, he decided, I'm going to try twice as hard, and I'm going to be motivated and work so much. And so the young man goes off to college, and he gives it tremendous effort. He's matured and grown, and he decides he's going to give his best effort. And he doesn't tell his dad. He wants his dad to wait until the day of the graduation. As he walks down the aisle, they announce he's the valedictorian of his class. And he thinks, this will make my dad so proud of me. And he comes down, hey, Dad, how about that surprise? How about my GPA? You know what his father says to him? Well, you did better than high school. Oh, boy, this young man's crushed, right? Because his father's put him down again. And this is an example of how your words can wound people and hurt people like a weapon would. You know, God made words to be building others. God made words to be declaring truth so people know what's happening. And in the fall, because of sin, Satan twisted words. And so words became about deception and attacking other people and shifting blame, all these things. Satan twisted what communication was supposed to be about. And, even James warns us about our words. Your words can bite and devour. It's like you're chewing up somebody just with the words that you say. And you may not even realize that that's how it comes across to that person. But that's what our words can do. And so it's important that we're conscious and aware. So when I was in seminary, I took this class that was like a church simulation class. And they invented this imaginary church for a week. It was Sweetbriar Baptist Church. And we had different people, and we had different things. And they had be the pastor of the church. It was very exciting. But with this simulation, so I had there was a secretary, and there was a music pastor, and a youth pastor, and all we had all the staff. And each day they would give us the emails, and we had to write responses, and we had to have pretend staff meetings, okay? And they had someone that would follow us around the entire week and write down everything that we said, okay? And then when the week was over, they told us, I think we would have gotten ourselves into a big lawsuit or something because we made several mistakes. Because we didn't know. We were just trying our best. And of course, on staff at the church there is like an actual, it was a former IRS agent, so he knew all the tax laws that we were breaking or whatever. But there was a man who sat down with me, George Kuhn. He was one of the teachers. And he followed me around the entire week, and he wrote down everything that I said. And he sat me down and said, did you realize that you said this, this, and this? And I said, well, no, I didn't realize that. Of course I wouldn't have said that. And so how interesting it is to have someone else tell you what you're saying and to be aware of it. Or you ever watch yourself on video and you think, I don't sound like that. I don't look like that. And it's like, no, really, you do. It's just that what you think you sound like is different than what you actually sound like. Okay, because you have your own impression of what you sound like. So it's interesting when we get a true reflection of what we are. So we're in James chapter 3. And, you know, daily we can hurt others with our words. And so today we're going to look at James chapter 3. I'm going to talk about four reasons why your tongue is so dangerous and you fail to realize it. Here's four reasons why your tongue is so dangerous and yet you fail to realize it. Verse number 1 and 2. My brethren, be not many masters. Don't be the person in charge, knowing that you shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Number 1. The first reason why the tongue is so dangerous is your mouth can put you under strict judgment. Your mouth can put you under strict judgment. You know, it's easy to have a high view of yourself. You know, it's easy to cherry pick your good moments. It's easy to show people, you know, the best parts. And I'm not picking on Facebook, okay, but sometimes people just put, you know, the happy with the family eating the meal or whatever, and if that's all you see, you think, oh, they must have a perfect family. But I think we all have to realize as you look at those pictures that that's one moment of their day and that there's other moments where they're frustrated with that same family, right? Or that same family gets lost driving somewhere and they're like, we're going to be late, okay? So we all have the highs and the lows. But it's easy for us to look at to present the good moments of our life and to say, yeah, I think I've really achieved something here and boy, I'm just doing really well and I'm connecting and I'm showing love and kindness. It's easy for us to look at ourselves this way and to think, boy, you know, I could really help other people see their problems and I could really stand here and be the example. James warns us, be not many masters, knowing that you should receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. Oh, if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man. Before you get all high and mighty, if you need to know what's inside, examine your mouth. How do you talk? How have you talked to people today? That frustrating person at work, how did you address that? Okay. That person in the drive-thru, maybe they got your order wrong. Okay, how did I talk to that person? Maybe there's a small child in your home. Maybe they can be annoying sometime. They do the same thing every day, and you're like, oh, please. I'm running out of patience with you, right? The word in the Bible is long-suffering. You make me suffer a long time. Okay, the same thing happens over and over, and it's like, ooh, this just grates on my nerves. Before you become a master, consider your words, okay? You know, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your mouth is a dipstick, and it goes right into your soul. And as you pull that dipstick out, you find out where you're really at, don't you? And so before you can become a great leader, a great master, consider the things that come out of your mouth. And if you're honest, you have to realize that there's times when you do offend. And the word offend means to cause to stumble. Sometimes we say we're offended because I don't like that shade of color on that carpet over there. Well, you're not really offended by that. It'll be okay, whatever carpet color it is. Offend is things a little bit more than that. Or, you know, someone didn't notice my hard work and didn't say thank you. I'm offended. Well, that's not really offending. You'll be okay spiritually. Offend is when I lose trust. Okay, so something that's very hurtful. And we've all said things and done things. We thought, whoa, I did not need to say that. You know, the quiet part, just keep the quiet part to yourself, right? So
The Bible says if we can have victory over our tongues, there's no sin we cannot overcome, right? If you're able to bridle the tongue, you're able to bridle or discipline your entire body. So that's a high bar to clear, isn't it? And that's very difficult. And then there's also this matter of judgment, right? Matthew 7, 1 and 2. So think of this verse. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. So the same way that I criticize someone else, the same way that I examine someone else, this is the way God examines me. This is what God looks at me for, okay? So I need to be careful how I talk to other people because, you know, that's the way God's going to see me. Even talking about forgiveness, right? If we're not willing to forgive others, we're not going to sense God's forgiveness in our life, right? We're going to have a lot of bitterness and anger we can't overcome. A lot of those things are going to weigh us down, okay? So we will be judged for the words that we say. Okay, we'll give an account before God someday and explain our whole life. Now, I think the unbelievers face eternal damnation in hell. We don't have that condemnation, but there is in a sense in which we'll have to explain this thing to God, and we will talk through our lives, and so we'll be held accountable. Okay, so if I want to be generous to other people, that's good because then they'll be generous to me. Right? But it's easy to be, well, it talks about judging others, and I think it's really being judgmental, nitpicking them, finding things wrong, assuming terrible motives, when they may not have any evil motive, they might just be incorrect. Sometimes that happens. But I need to have a grace towards other people so that I will have grace, God will have grace towards me. So someday you'll stand before God. So it's important the words that you use because the words that you use, the way you judge other people, will reflect on how you're treated. You know, God will judge every idle word. Every little word that we don't think is heard, God will judge those things and bring it to our attention. So every idle word, we need to be careful with the things that we say. We need to be encouraging. We need to take ownership, right? If you're wrong, just say you're wrong. Like this, if you have to explain yourself and it's long and complicated, you probably just need to apologize and just move on, right? Just say, I was wrong. People understand if you say you're wrong. They can forgive you being wrong. What they can't forgive is if it takes a 5-minute explanation and it's very confusing, right? Because usually you probably did something wrong or you weren't careful as you should have been. So let's take ownership of our words. Let's not be judged for the things that we say. Let's be generous towards others. All right, so the first reason we talked about why our words can be so dangerous is because the words that we use will come back to be our judge. And then number two, we're going to look in verses 3-6. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us. We turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and has set on fire of hell. Well, these are strong words. Number two, your little mouth can have a giant impact. Your little mouth can have a giant impact. You know, you think about how small your mouth is, and yet how much it has influence. How much do you remember the words that people say? You know, I've decided that most of life is talking, right? If someone talks to you nicely, that's your friend. If someone talks to you in an angry way, that's probably your enemy. If you're able to communicate and be pleasant and laugh and smile, you're going to have a happy family, right? That's what a lot of it is. It's just the words that you choose to use. Words that friends use, you know, the friends that you have close to you say things that are important to you. Hopefully they're encouraging, but hopefully also helpful. Maybe you need some help. But those words that we use, that mouth is just so powerful. You know, how many times, too, have you been just weighed down and discouraged, and then someone at work said something to you, and you're like, I feel so much better, right? Just one little compliment. Okay, somebody noticed that I'm trying so hard. And that's so encouraging, isn't that? That little word that someone shares with you can make such a difference. James gives several examples of the words that we use. He talks about a horse, And just a small bit can turn this giant, powerful horse around. You know, you think about how big and powerful horses are. I don't know if you guys have ever seen Clydesdales. You come up close, those things are bigger than I am, and it's like, wow. When we were in, when I lived in Henry, Illinois, they used to have these big, they had tractor poles, and then they had horse poles, and they put all these logs on a sled, and they'd have these big Clydesdales. You couldn't believe the weight they'd pull. But this giant horse is controlled by this small metal bit in the mouth. The mouth is a sensitive area, and that little metal bit can help. So when I was in college, I had this friend, and his family had a ranch in Montana. So for spring break, we decided to go to Montana to the ranch. And he told us, we can ride the horses. It'll be fun. It'll be fun, he said. He gave me this horse, and I mean, I'd ridden a little bit, but not much when I was a kid. I didn't know much about horses, and I'm still not an expert. But he had me ride this horse, and what he failed to tell me is the horse hadn't been ridden in a long time. It kind of had its own attitude and agenda. The other thing was that someone had tried to do some stunt riding with a horse and tried to jump over a fence and had miscalculated and then had stabbed the horse. And so the horse was very distrustful of people, kind of left that one out. So I jumped on this horse and it just took off. You know, it was just hanging on for dear life. I did all the stuff I had heard about in the books to stay on. I knew you're supposed to pinch your knees, I knew that. So that kept me on until he was able to corral the horse. But he told me next time, you just pull up and the little bit will hit its mouth. It'll stop. So I learned that for future horse riding. If I ever jump on a horse like that again, probably not going to happen, but if I were, I would know what to do, right? So this big, giant, strong horse, that little mouth, it's very sensitive. And it's the picture of the words in our mouth and how much our little mouth is, our mouth controls our giant body comparatively in size. It gives the example of a ship and the tiny rudder. And you know, cargo ships are getting bigger and bigger now. And now they're making them the size of the canal, so they barely fit through, right? And as the canals get bigger, the ships are getting bigger because they figured out these things float. You can put a lot on here. It's very cheap to haul and that kind of thing. The new carriers, ships, they can hold up to 8,000 brand new cars. They can travel across the ocean and deliver them. You think about how mammoth that is, right? It just blows your mind. And this giant vessel, it's controlled by just a tiny little rudder in the back, and that steers the entire vessel. That little thing has so much power, and that's another picture of our mouth and how little things that we say can have a bigger impact on the rest of us, right? And our entire bodies fall in line behind what our mouth says. It talks about how a small fire can grow. It's the tiny little spark. I had a teacher in Bible college. When he was a kid, he was reckless, and he did something very foolish. And I'm telling you this story, but do not do this. I don't think anyone here is going to do this. But if you're watching online, you're a young person. Don't even think about it. But when he was a kid, they had this game they would play. They'd go to the back of their house. There was some old grass, and they'd try to light the grass on fire, and then they would try to see how far it could burn before they put it out. And they'd make it a little bit bigger, then they'd put it out a little bit bigger. And before long, of course, he burns down the woods in the back of their house, and the fire department comes, and he's in big trouble. It did not end well, okay? So this is a cautionary tale. But just to make the point, just a little spark, just think about how much power a little spark has, and that's the power of something small as your mouth and your words, and the ripple effects that come out of that, and how many people's lives are affected, and how much of our life is changed by a comment. You know, you ever quickly say something without thinking, and now you've obligated yourself, or maybe you bragged about something, and they said, well, let's see you do that now, okay? How many times just a little offhanded comment can change our whole life trajectory, right? Because we put it out there, right? And, you know, the new, I read that the new Apple update for iPhones, I don't know if it's true, that's what I've read, now you can update text messages that you've already sent. Does this blow your mind? Yeah. But I think we'd all love to take certain words back, right? At certain times be like, I didn't really say that. Okay? But how many times do our words really have this influence? This small part of our body, and yet it has such a big part. And you know, and James goes on. He talks about how our tongue can be set on fire. And that fire is the fire of hell itself. Come on, James, you got to be exaggerating. The fire of hell comes from my mouth? I don't think so. But is James exaggerating? I don't think he is. I don't think James exaggerates if you read through his literature, okay? The stuff that he writes. I really think that hell is helped by things that people say, if you can imagine this, okay? So this is when I talk about the weapon of the mouth. You see just how dangerous words can be. Our words can really hurt others. And, you know, sometimes you say things and it can torture someone in their memory for a long time. So we need to consider our words. We need to be listening to feedback of how things sound and just be careful and just realize this might be a small thing, but it could really mean a lot. And this could be used in good ways too, right? Little compliments can make a big difference, you know? Boy, you really worked hard today and that made a real difference. And that person's like, yeah, I did, right? And that becomes their thought of who they are and what they want to accomplish. So it's a small part of our body, and yet the influence is much bigger than the small size that it is. All right, reason number three why our words can be so dangerous. Verses 7 and 8. For every kind of beast and bird and of serpent and of things in sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Oof. And number three reason why the tongue is so dangerous is you can never control your tongue. You can never control your tongue. You can't do it. He's very clear about this. If it's up to you, it can't be done. Talks about animals can be trained. You know, you can teach animals to perform. They can do conditioning things. They can offer them food. They can give them rewards. And animals with a routine over time can be taught to do certain things. Okay? My uncle used to have a farm, and he had hundreds of cows, and every day when he went to milk the cows, they'd all line up in the same order every single day. Just routine and habit, and they were taught to do that, and it wasn't a problem. Now, these are cows. They could have fought it. You know, they're pretty big and strong. But they didn't, right? They knew the routine, and they followed it. So animals can be taught or trained on some level. But your mouth is not like an animal. And the temptation to use your words in a wrong way, this is a temptation that you will fight for the rest of your life. It will always be there. At the very last breath, you're going to want to say something you shouldn't. Okay? This is something that we will always deal with and always battle as a part of our human experience. And we need to realize that we need God's grace. If you were listening Sunday, we need God's grace. We need God's supernatural help to do the things that we should do. And we need to seek God's help. And the psalmist writes that he put a guard in front of my mouth. Guard the things that come out of my mouth. He asked God for the help to say the things that he should say. And we need to have wisdom. And we need to pray for the right words sometimes, knowing what to say to people. That can take a lot of thought. Different people hear things different ways. Sometimes I'm guilty of this, saying things. And to me, I feel like I'm pretty clear and I'm not thinking anything deeper about it, but maybe to that person that's hurtful, so I got to work on building a bridge to where they're at, right? We think of the golden rule. Well, I wouldn't mind if someone did it to me, but it's not just having that person do it to you, it's having that person do it to you if you were in their situation, right? From where they're coming from and how they're thinking. And so that's really the way that needs to be adapted. So your tongue, this is an endless battle that we have. And this is a life-dominating problem, and God can give us the victory. It's not that we're just going to try hard enough or just do enough on our own, or I'm just going to have enough self-discipline to, you know, push my way through, and next time I won't get mad. That's the flesh talking, right? We need God's help. We need to be looking into Scripture. We need to be filled with prayer. We need to be walking with the Lord to have the power that we need to fix those words so they don't come out that way next time, right? Because it's not just a superficial problem. It's really in my heart. And so I need God to do a work in my heart so that doesn't come out of my mouth in the future, right? So it's who I am on the inside. You can temporarily fix the mouth, right? You can supernaturally or superficially just do something good for one day. But if I'm walking in the flesh, that's going to come back out in the future, right? It's like the whack-a-mole. It's going to keep popping up again and again. So I need to fix on the inside so it doesn't keep popping up, right? And so we don't keep having to pull the same weed every single time. The Lord can help us. So let's resolve now. It's not something I can control. Not something I can tame. I need the Lord's help. Fourth reason why the tongue is so dangerous. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, verse 9, And therewith curse we men, which are made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fount set forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a fine fig? So can no fountain yield both salt water and fresh. I imagine James writing this or speaking this, and I imagine him getting very animated at this point and being very much like, you've got to get this part. And this is where it all comes together, okay? He says, therewith blessed be God, even the Father, and therewith cursed be man. Number four, your mouth can push you into hypocrisy. Your mouth can push you into hypocrisy. How many times we get into a conversation and then we start to talk, and before long, we've said something negative, right? Unnecessarily about this person or situation. And I didn't need to go down that road, but the person might even be your friend. Maybe you said something nice to him that day, and now what? You've talked both ways. So which side are you on, right? Therewith blessed be God, even the Father, therewith cursed be man, which are made in there after the similitude of God. So on the one hand, our mouth can be used to bless God. Maybe you're singing praises in church. Maybe you're praying, thanking the Lord for all of his goodness and his kindness to you. And the next thing you know, you're just saying horrible things about someone. And that person is made in God's image, meaning they have God's spiritual nature that he's put in them. So on the one hand, we're blessing God, and on the other hand, we're cursing the person made in God's image. How does this make any sense? James is like, this isn't right. You can't be doing this, right? We can't have it both ways. If we bless God, we should also bless people that are in his image and be kind in how we talk about them. So he's going to go on to give illustrations. And he gives four, right? He's like, don't miss this, okay? He's very animated. You can't have it both ways. You can't be blessing God and cursing people. And here's four illustrations. And they're very short, but they all land. They all work, okay? So he says, imagine this, okay? You're going to get a drink of water from a fountain. One day you drink it, it's sweet. Oh, this water's delicious. The next day you drink it, you're like, disgusting. He's like, that doesn't make sense. How can it be sweet and disgusting? He's like, a fountain is one or the other. He's like, that's the way you should be. Not that you should be bitter, but you should be one way, right? And people should know that you truly love God. It should be one way. He's like, okay, here's another illustration. Just imagine you go to a fig tree and you see olives on it. You're like, wait a minute, this is a fig tree. This shouldn't be olives on here. He's like, that wouldn't make sense. Fig trees should grow figs, not olives. We all know this, okay? And then he's like, now wait a minute, I got an illustration for you. James keeps going here. He's like, or if you see a vine and that's growing figs, and you're like, wait a minute, this shouldn't be growing figs. This is the wrong kind of plant for this. And he goes for illustration number four. In case you haven't got it by now, he keeps doubling down on this thing that he's saying. And the Bible stresses thing multiple times just so that we'll pay attention. So he goes, illustration number four, right? So he's landing, he's crossing the last bend in the road here. Okay, he's like, or if you're gonna get water. And you go to drink salt water, and there's fresh water in there. You're like, what happened? I thought this was salt water. Now it's fresh. Okay, this is very confusing. And so he's making the point that our mouth shouldn't be hypocritical. We shouldn't say two things. We shouldn't have two points of view. We should be upfront with where we are. That doesn't mean we have to always agree with everybody, or doesn't mean that we always have to like everything that happens. But we should talk nicely about people the same way in front of them as behind them, okay, when they're not noticing us. You can disagree and still talk nicely at the same time, right? It's not one or the other. I can disagree with kindness, right, and not attack people. And I don't have to pretend like I'm their best friend if we're not close, right? So it works both ways in the way that we communicate with people. So being in God's image, them in God's image, worshiping God, we should show kindness in our words. So being double-tongued, it's wrong. Okay? Don't let your mouth make you a hypocrite. Don't let the words that you use, the things that pop out when they shouldn't, put yourself in a bad spot where you're talking two different ways. So we see the ways that our mouth can be like a weapon, and our mouth can be dangerous. And just like you see tragedy in the news, people hurt, sometimes that can be our words. Maybe it's not in the news, but the things that we say can still be of danger to those around us. So we need God's grace and help every day to, as we speak to others, as we communicate, that we stand for what's right, and we're like Christ in our words, right? And God can work in our mouth to say the things that need to be said when they need to be said. And this is something that God can supernaturally do through us. All right, let's bow our heads for 1 second. I'm going to ask for a raise of hands. But if this message touched you, maybe there's something in your life and you realize that God isn't working through you the way that you should, that He should, and you'd like to ask for His help and grace, you just lift your hand up for 1 second. I'd like to pray for you. Just lift your hand up for 1 second. All right, thank you. Anyone else here? All right.